The month of June has certainly been a month of solemnities for those of you who are keeping track of such things, like I do. You know, this is the sixth one this month. We had three, the first three were celebrated on Sundays, Pentecost, Trinity Sunday, and Corpus Christi. And then the last three on weekdays. So last week we had the birth of John the Baptist and the Sacred Heart, and now today the great solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. You know that solemnities are not evenly spaced out throughout the year. After today, the next one won't be celebrated until the middle of August, August 15, Assumption of Mary. And then after that, there's not another one until November, All Saints Day. So June this year has been quite a festive month. Now today we focus on Peter and Paul. Perhaps what's one of the things that's striking about it is that there are two great saints on one day. Last week I commented that we had two solemnities in a row, John the Baptist and Sacred Heart, but that was at least 2 days. Now we have two great saints, two of the most important saints in the history of the church, and on the same day. So it's a lot to celebrate. It's a celebration of the men themselves. It's a celebration of the church, the life of the church. It's a celebration of each one of us and our own vocation as members of the church. If we look at the lives of Peter and Paul, there's too much to say in one mass. Both of them have extraordinary journeys as men who were in their natural, fallen, sinful human condition, who were called, who responded to the call, and were given extraordinary roles of service in the church. Peter, of course, was a fisherman, uneducated, poor, from a remote region. Jesus got into his boat. Jesus called him. Jesus revealed that his vocation was to be a fisher of men. We know Peter was the first among the apostles, not first to be called, but most prominent among the company of apostles, and that he was with Jesus in, well, throughout his public ministry. We know from today's first reading that Peter suffered after Pentecost. He was persecuted, he was imprisoned. In this case, he was also released from prison. But the tradition is very clear what happened to Peter at the end of his life. He was in Rome. He was serving as Bishop of Rome for a long, long time. They say some 36 years, is it, or 35 years, something like that. That's not exact. But then at the end of his long service in Rome, he was crucified upside down in Rome and buried on one of the seven hills of Rome, the Vatican Hill, which is where the great Basilica of St. Peter is to this day. And they have discovered, as they did some archaeological digging underneath that huge church, they found the tomb of Peter. That really is the burial site of Peter. Paul, well, he was not a poor, uneducated fisherman. He was maybe not wealthy, but at least well-educated, and he had the advantage of being a Roman citizen, and he was from a more prominent place in the Roman world, Tarsus. He was a Pharisee, well-schooled in the law and zealous in defense of the law. He was called too, not like Peter was and the other apostles. He was called as one out of the normal course. He was suddenly given a vision of Jesus Christ in glory as he was on his way to Damascus. And we know the story of Paul's conversion. In fact, we celebrate it with a big feast day in January. Paul then became an extraordinary missionary to the whole known Roman world. And he ended up in Rome as well and was finally killed martyred in Rome, not by crucifixion, because that was illegal to crucify a Roman citizen. He was beheaded. And he's buried just outside the old walls of Rome. In fact, the place is called St. Paul's Outside the Walls. So that's their journey. There's a kind of patristic tradition that if the Bible does not describe the death of someone, they can be considered spiritually still alive. The best example of this is Melchizedek. You know, the story of the Old Testament priest Melchizedek. There's no record of him dying. So the tradition is that he's a priest forever. Well, of course, we know they died. We know that Peter was crucified upside down. We know that Paul was beheaded. But there's no biblical evidence of that. There's no description of their death. So spiritually, we celebrate them alive in the church. Of course, they're alive in glory in heaven, but their role remains in the church. So this feast day is not only about these two men, it's about the church. About the role of Peter in the church, about the role of Paul in the church. Peter is the rock, the first pope, the sign that God wanted to establish his church, not just in a spiritual way, but in a particular way, with a specific foundation, with a hierarchy, with structures. That was God's plan. Jesus himself says, on this rock I will build my church. So Peter, it is the example or the evidence of what God wanted when he established, what Jesus wanted when he established his church. He wanted not only a spiritual church that is in heaven and earth, but also a human institution. This is the Catholic version. Of course, other Christians don't agree that the church is actually a human temporal institution. Every Christian believes in the spiritual church, but not every Christian believes in the hierarchical church, the structured church. They don't believe in the authority of the Pope. This feast celebrates Peter and his role in the church. Because of Peter and his office, the church has a focal point or a point on which we can establish our unity, because the church believes what Peter believes. The church believes what Peter and his successors teach. If there's a question about what's Catholic, you could always ask the Pope. And he has the last word. So that's the role of Peter. St. Paul, the great theologian, the great evangelist and missionary, he represents the church's role of spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. The church is not only a hierarchical institution, the church is also an evangelical force in the world, spreading itself out to the peripheries, out to every place where there are people. And Paul's missionary zeal remains in the church. So it's impossible to think of the church without Peter and Paul, without her foundation and without her extension. If you take away Peter and Paul, you don't have the church. You take away the hierarchy and you take away the evangelical zeal, you don't have the church. You just have a lot of old parchments, a lot of empty traditions. No, but Peter and Paul reveal to us or give us an opportunity to reflect on the living character of the church. So there's Peter and Paul, there's the church, and then there's us. What can we learn from Peter and Paul? We learn that God chooses sinners. He chooses imperfect instruments. He chooses people for his own mysterious reasons. Who would have thought Peter would be of any use to God and the building up of his kingdom? Who would have thought that Jesus Christ could use Paul, who was determined on snuffing out his followers? Who could have thought of such a thing? Only God. Well, who could have thought that any one of us would be of any use to God in his kingdom? We certainly haven't proved that we're of great use. None of us is worthy to be given any position or even in a little place. And yet, God's plan is for each one of us to take a specific place in a specific role as part of his kingdom and the extension of his kingdom in the world. So this feast makes it also possible for us to see beyond ourselves, our limitations, our sins, our weaknesses, our failures, our past failures. Well, yeah, those are all part of our story, but they're not the whole story, because God's plan, it transcends all those things. This is a joyful feast for the whole church. It's a joyful feast for every one of us. Maybe we can't say we're pillars of the church, or we're apostles, or we're not popes, and we're not, you know, haven't written books of the Bible, but each one of us has a role, and our joy and our fulfillment comes from discovering what God created us for and doing that. We all have a place in the church. It's one body, one body of Christ, one mystical body. We can't say we want to be a hand or an eye or a foot. We're the part that God made us to be. Peter's a part, he's not the whole church. Paul's a part, he's not the whole church. We're a part, and we rejoice to be in the church of Saints Peter and Paul.